becomes less favorable toward religion, you know, prayer might seem old-fashioned, or prayer might seem odd or unusual, unpopular. So the lesson this morning is, I want to give you some good reasons, and obviously I will not exhaust the list of reasons to pray. But I want to convince us over and over again that prayer should be a huge part in our life. Jim mentioned in his announcements this morning, our prayer list is getting significantly larger. So we have, not that we haven't had occasions to pray, but we are having more occasions. The list grows. So number one, a reason why you and I should pray is because prayer keeps us humble. Keeps us humble. I think unless it's called to our attention, just sometimes we forget how weak and dependent we are. So I'm going to call it to your attention. You know, I type my sermon notes on a computer powered by electricity on which I depend. There's not much in our homes that's of practical value without electricity. You start thinking about the things that operate with electricity and how much you depend on that. I'm dependent on outside power to keep my home functional. I'm dependent. I'm dependent on the transportation industry to keep supplies in stores. I depend on an economy to keep jobs and work available. Sometimes we think we're self-sufficient, but however, so much depends on others. Even in the congregation, we depend on others. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I never worry when Christine and I are driving to the building whether the building will be open or not. It never worries me. It never crosses my mind that the building will not be open, because I know someone has done that. I never worry about I wonder if the communion is going to be prepared today. No, it didn't cross my mind. I used to not worry if Don would be standing at the door handing out bulletins, but now he's not going to be there. See, we depend on others so much. Prayer reminds us of that. In Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 2, Jesus tells or gives a parable or a story. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, says, he said to them, meaning Jesus, when you pray, oh, that's our lesson. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. When he teaches the disciples to pray, one part of that instructional prayer includes an attitude of dependence. Give us. There's certain things that we cannot accomplish. There's certain things beyond our control. There's things in our life that I can't receive other than asking. And so even in this instructional prayer, Jesus gives or illustrates our dependence upon God. When we pray, we expose our need. When I pray, there's many times it includes the phrase, help me, or heal me, provide for me, show me, forgive me. I say, I need you again today. Give us this day daily bread. That which I need to sustain my spiritual life. To keep me on your side. Give me, God. Even the posture of prayer displays humbleness. You know, we bow. illustrating there's something, someone mightier than us. Or we close our eyes and we might even look up. We might even put our hands in that direction. Or we'll fall on the floor with on our knees. Even that posture illustrates someone greater than us, and we recognize that and bow before them. Many times, just in a practical sense, we bow our head or close our eyes just to eliminate distractions. Jesus gave the illustration, go into a closet. Find a place where you can focus on your dependence upon God. You see, prayer humbles us. That's one reason why we pray. Number two, prayer keeps trouble away. I should probably pray more often. Seems like trouble finds me. Even in Jesus' instructional prayer again, he includes, lead us not into temptation. In other words, when I'm bowing my head and giving my words to God, I'm saying, God, help me to stay away from situations that cause me trouble. Help me watch what I say. Keep me out of trouble. When Jesus was about to be arrested, he spent time in prayer. And he leaves the disciples and goes a little bit farther into the garden. But when he comes back, he says to the disciples in Luke 22, verse 40, pray that you may not enter into temptation. So that's part of my prayer life too. Give me and don't lead me into troublesome times. Help me make the right choices in the direction I go and in the things that I say. Prayer keeps trouble away. Pray, he said. So we pray, help me make the right decisions. Keep me from cruel choices. Whatever words you want to use. Help me to do that which is good. It's not part of our prayer life. Pray for calmness. You know, when you maybe you have to confront a friend or a coworker. Pray for a safe journey when you're about to travel. Pray, when we were having our business meetings and we had opened it with prayer, we closed with prayer also. But many times the one leading the opening prayer would say, you know, we pray for a spirit of unity, a bond of peace as we make our discussion. Pray to keep trouble away. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 6, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. You see, anxiety can be pushed away with prayer. So prayer keeps trouble away, number two. Number three, we pray because prayer may incur God's favor. Incur God's favor. That was in our text. And now Jesus tells this parable about the power of prayer. And so he tells a story about a visitor who shows up in the middle of the night. And the host that's receiving the visitor doesn't have any bread. Uh-oh. So the host says, I know what I'll do. I'll go to my neighbor. And I'll knock on his door even though it's late and I'll ask him to help me. Jesus, in telling the story in Luke 11, verse 8, says, I tell you, even though, he's talking about the neighbor, even though he'll not get up and give him anything because he's a friend. Friend, go away. I know you have a need, but not now, friend. And then Jesus continues. He's not going to get up and give you something because you're a friend. Yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Just go away. What do you need? Now, Jesus' point is very simple. At least one point in the lesson. If we keep asking God for what we need, we may move him to open up to our request. It's done in this story that Jesus tells because of our persistence, if not because of anything else. Our persistence. And then the story or the parable concludes in verse 9. I say unto you, ask. Second phrase is seek. And knock. That trilogy, those three things. Persistence in prayer. Now God may answer yes the first time you ask. Or God may say no. Or God may say wait. The answer is yes, I'll answer your prayer, but not right now. Or he may say no, but here's something better than what you've asked for. Because of persistence in prayer. And we see that even as parents, don't we? When your children ask for something? No. But they keep asking. Depending on their age, I think. Well, maybe they're still 18 and they're still persistent. But they keep asking. And sometimes over the course of those moments, over the course of time, we say, okay, I'll do that. And that was our text that Dennis read to us. Isaiah told Hezekiah that he would die from his illness. And Hezekiah chose to pray. And so in verse 3, remember, O Lord, and then he says, and I beseech you. In other words, I'm going to be persistent in this. I'm going to plead. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray confidently and over again. I beseech, he says, how I've walked before you in truth and with a whole heart. I've done that which is right in thy sight or good. And he weeps bitterly. And so God turns in favor. And he sends Isaiah back with a different message in verse 5. Says, I heard your prayer. That's right. I heard your prayer. I will heal you. I will add 15 years to your life. Persistence in prayer. And we think, God, can you hear me? Have you heard me? I need this, and in my mind, I would like it right now. We need to be persistent in prayer. So that's why we pray, because it may incur God's favor. Number 4, we pray because prayer can change us. And this is what happens when God says no. It changes us. In Luke chapter 22, verse 41, in the illustration of the life of Jesus, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says he withdrew a stone's throw, went a little ways, kneeled down and began to pray our prayer. And he said, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's a severe test that Jesus is facing. He's about to be arrested, and he knew that. He was going to be falsely accused and mocked and crucified. And you'd think, surely the Father is going to answer the Son's request exactly as he's asking. But God answered his prayer. The answer is no, I'm not going to remove this cup from you. And then God gives an added answer. The request is answered with, here's something else. And so in verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. You see, there's some things that prayer can't change. And when prayer cannot change the thing, it changes us. And so the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, he endured the cross, despised the shame. And an interesting phrase right before that, who for the joy set before him. Wow. Prayer, when prayer doesn't change the thing, it changes us to last through it. Another illustration in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul's writing, he says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, and for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Oh, three times? Persistent in prayer? His prayer was answered, and the first answer is no. But then the second answer following up is, here's something else. In verse 9, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You see, we may have to live with some things the rest of our life that we can't change. It might be where you live. It might be the job that you have. It may be a particular illness. And you prayed, Lord, I need to move, or Lord, I need to have a different job, or Lord, I need some healing. And what if the answer is no? No, you're going to have to live with that. And I said, maybe the rest of your life. So when we pray for something and the answer is no, then God changes us to live with it. There perhaps would be an angel, a ministry spirit to strengthen us, or God's grace provides for us. Mm. You see, sometimes God calms the storm, and other times God calms me. When he doesn't calm the storm, he calms me. When I was teaching school, special ed elementary, always had the sign by my classroom door. It wasn't for the students, it was for my staff. The sign says, when you can't change the circumstance, change your attitude. There was a lot that we couldn't change in special education, in teaching students. So change your attitude. You can change that. So why pray? Because prayer can change us. Number five. Someone says, that was the last point.
Number nine.
No, it's not that. You're finished. Number five is because prayer adds to our strength. Sometimes in the negative side, it's the last resort. In other words, I've depleted all of my resources. I've done all that I can to help me in the situation I'm in. So why, sometimes, well, why pray? Things haven't changed. Because prayer will add to our strength. You know, when our nation has been exposed to natural disasters, fire and flood and hurricanes in recent weeks, and the community has rallied around in our nation, and they've used and put out all their resources to overcome the disaster or to send relief. And then when the news people interview those who have been affected directly by the disaster, they would many times say, we've done all that we can, pray for us. Pray for us. We've worked as if everything depended upon God. Now we want to pray as if everything depends on us. Now we want to pray as if everything depends upon God. And that's what we do. We work, and then we pray. You know, even doctors and the science of medicine can do wonderful things. And I'm amazed. Not original with me. David said it in Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I'm just in awe of medicine and equipment. And when I sometimes see one or two of these doctor shows on television, how does that pill know where to go? I know the answer, but come up with an x-ray to see inside, or MRI or a scan? You have replacement parts? Really? But even doctors with all of this available knowledge and equipment, many times having reached their limits and struggling to cure, they may even either pray themselves or they'll meet with the family and say, pray. We've done all that we can. We've exerted all of our energy. We pulled in all of our resources. But prayer will add to the strength that we have. And that's why we pray. Jesus gave this answer to the disciples when they could not heal a demon-possessed boy. They came back to Jesus and they couldn't understand their failure. And in Mark 9:29, the disciples began questioning him privately. They asked the question, why is it that we could not cast it out? Jesus said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. So perhaps the disciples had tried and used all of their own power, and they failed. So Jesus said, you need to pray. So the conclusion is, we want to do all that we can to help our situation. We use all of our power, but now we need to use the power from above. That's why we pray. The last one, we don't have a preacher clock back there, do we? Okay. Last one is because prayer imitates the master. Even though Jesus had the miraculous power, he told marvelous parables, yet he resorted to prayer. Jesus, you need to pray? In addition to having this other power, Jesus knew the power of prayer. So I've listed these in your notes. If you didn't get the outline, or it's in the email, in the bulletin. But in Luke 3:21, Jesus prays at his baptism. In Luke 11, verse 1, it said, when he ceased praying, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Even the disciples. Jesus, we've heard you tell the stories, we've seen the miraculous ability, but there's something about your prayer life. Would you teach us to pray? In Mark 6, verse 41, and in John 6, verse 11, Jesus prays before he hands out the loaves and the fishes. In Luke 6, verse 12, he spends all night in prayer before he calls the 12 apostles. In Luke 9, verse 28, it says he went up to the mountain to pray. And when he was up there, he was transfigured. In John 17, 26 verses record Jesus' prayer. Prays for unity, that we would be one. In Luke 22, verse 19, he offers thanks for the bread and the cup at the communion of the Lord's Supper. In Mark 24, verse 26 and verse 32, it's in Gethsemane, and he says, sit here while I go and pray. On the cross, in Luke 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them. See, our prayers imitate the Master. So that's why we pray. So six reasons. Prayer keeps us humble. Keeps trouble away. And it can incur God's favor. It can change us when it cannot change the thing. Because prayer adds to our strength. I told a story many years ago, and I told it one time again, and Jim remembered it. I don't know why. But the father was watching his little boy try to move a huge stone. And the little boy got behind him, grunted and groaned and pushed and lifted up and this way, that way, tried everything he could think of. And dad said to him, son, are you using all your strength? He said, I think so. Dad said, no, you're not. because you haven't asked me to help. That's prayer. You don't go it alone. You have help from above. Closing comment I made in your notes is prayer is not a substitute for obedience. Still have to become Christians, not by prayer, not by saying, God, just come into my heart and save me and make me your child. No. Become a Christian by hearing, as we point out even in the back of our bulletin, a simple plan or formula. You have to hear the Word of God. Paul even asked the question, common sense question, in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? That's right. So we have to preach the gospel to every creature, the commission of Jesus. Then second, you'll need to believe that message. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Well, I don't want to die in my sins. I came into the world to save sinners. Save me. Then Jesus also said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent or perish. Well, I don't want to perish either. Don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to perish. That doesn't sound good. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him a Jesus message in Acts chapter 8. And the Ethiopian interrupts Philip's sermon and says, here's water. Anything hindering me or stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. And then they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And Philip baptized him. Point number 5. Came up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. You've always heard me say, salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always. So that's the invitation we extend also. If you're subject to that, you've not been baptized, you've not made arrangements, just simply, you know, let us know, and we can certainly accomplish that. Again, if you have prayer requests, if we don't make them while we're here, you know, let us know. We can put that in the bulletin, that big section, prayer fully requesting. Is anyone not in the need of prayer? Don't think so. So that's the lesson. Enjoy the company of one another after our closing prayer from 6 feet away.
Outside.
The admonition is pray for one another. And prayer, let me just add one. Prayer is not something, just a trite saying. Some people think that. You know, because anytime in those disasters, they say, well, I don't want your prayers. I want your support or something like that. Wait a minute. Prayer is not insignificant. Don't ever diminish that phrase. I will pray for you. I will call upon a heavenly host to bless, to provide, to care for, you know, to add to your strength and all the other resources that you're pulling in. I will pray for you. I will ask God for blessings from above to give you that which only He can provide, that you're not going to get from any place else here. That's the message. Why pray? We have our reasons. In the order of worship, what is just a closing prayer?
Closing prayer.
And who has that? Did you mention?
Dennis. Everett.
All right. I'll get that one after the prayer. I said, I'll get my folder after the prayer.
Pause. Okay. Well, thank you all for being here today. Please remember to keep your ways and our ways clear as we depart today. Let's pray. Our great merciful God in heaven, we again thank you for the opportunity we have to be called your family. We pray, God, our worship is always as acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Not as we desire, but as you. We pray, God, you continue to watch, care, and guidance over those in emergency services assisting in fighting the fires that rage on. We pray, God, to be your guidance and watch care over the families who have been displaced and evacuated through the fires and disasters around the world. We pray, God, your watch care over us, your family, and your children as we look for, as we look forward to this, to the coming week. We pray, God, that we be able to gather again in your name. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Hi.
How
are
you guys doing?
Very good.
Good.
You know, I stopped getting the
emails.
Hi.
And June.
What?
Yeah.
We don't know the email that Colin has. It's like almost considered text now. I mean, it's
oh, really?
Email, like she never says, I mean, there's thousands of emails.
Okay.
But Nikki is the one that's going
neither, because I don't know that I've changed the community.
So all those things are so checking her spam. Yeah. It's like maybe it's one of the spam.
Huh. Okay, it's Nikki.
Nikki and I
kick it
out.
Oh,
oh, man.
I'll send you one this afternoon as a test.
Okay.
I don't. I'll check.
Because I don't know that it's.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Good.